When does civil unrest become civil war? Vali Nasser teaches at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and wrote the forthcoming book, The Shia Revival, How Conflicts Within Islam Will Shape the Future. He joins us from member station KPBS in San Diego. Professor, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And here in our studios, we're joined by retired Major General Robert Scales, a military historian who's written histories of both the Gulf Wars. Major General, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
And if we could begin asking both of you, and I guess Professor Nasser first, have we reached that tipping point, as we call it these days? Is Iraq in a civil war?
Well, I think it's a lot closer. There are some who have argued that we've had a low-level civil war already going on in Iraq. But I think what happened at the Askariya Mosque was a major turning point from which it would be very difficult to step back. I think Iraq is much closer to not only civil conflict, but also unraveling of a commitment to its center. A lot of the issues on which the prospects of the future were built are now open to question.
General Scales.
It's not a civil war yet in the classic sense. Perhaps a better term to use would be a growing Sunni insurrection. The Sunnis simply don't have the military power. They don't have the regional control. However, I do agree with Professor Nasser that as the situation continues to deteriorate, the country moves closer and closer to an expanded insurrection that could very well in time, if the government doesn't step in and intervene effectively, lead to something like civil war.
Professor, when the Grand Ayatollah Sistani called for restraint this week, but added if government security forces cannot provide the necessary protection, the believers will do it. Was that sort of an invitation for the militia to set up shop?
Yes. In fact, there have been some reports that he has now called for his own Shia militia to be set up. And he's under a tremendous amount of pressure to show some kind of response to this in terms of at least giving confidence to the community that it's not going to happen again. And it is said that the reason why this happened in Samarra and did not happen in Najaf or Karbala is because in Najaf and Karbala, the shrines are protected by Shia militias, whereas in Samarra, on the insistence of the local population, a Sunni security force locally was in charge of the shrine. So, the Shias are angry. They want retribution. But also there is tremendous amount of fear and apprehension. And there is pressure on people like Sistani to provide some kind of a solution, which the government seems not capable to produce. And nor is the United States in a position to provide that kind of a security.
I do agree with the professor that these militias probably have far too much power. But ultimately, the man on the street is not going to look to the militia to restore security. He's going to look to the security forces to do that and the central government to do it. So it's time for the government to begin to grab the reins of control.
What's grabbing the reins of control?
It comes down to the competency of the army and the police force. They have the numbers now, and they have the infrastructure in place. They've been trained well, I believe, by the U.S. military. But it's time for them to start acting like a national security force. And by grabbing control, what I mean is to establish a presence in all of the major cities, particularly in the four contested provinces, and begin to establish a long-term, steady-state semblance of civil order.
Professor Nasser?
One of the issues that the general raised is actually the point of contention now with the United States. In other words, one of the arguments the Shias have made is that the best way to strengthen the security forces is essentially to turn the militias into security forces. Mm-hmm. And this was occurring under the outgoing interior minister, Bayan Jaber. And then now one of the points of contention with Ambassador Khalilzad is that he wants the security forces to be divorced from Shia militias, and that creates a lot of anxiety among the Shia because so far, in their opinion, the security forces have worked, particularly in the south, because they've been infiltrated by the militias.
President Talabani said of the mosque attack, "We are facing a major conspiracy that is targeting Iraqi unity." How does President Talabani, in a democracy, expand the Sunni base in his government without forcing a lot of Shia to say, well, what are elections about anyway? Professor Nasser?
The challenge that faces Talabani and faces the United States is that after what happened in Samarra, the situation sort of somewhat drastically changed in the sense that so far we could afford to focus on pleasing the Sunnis, on bringing them in, the 20% of the population that believes it lost in the change of regime in Iraq. But now we're facing a situation where the majority Shia may opt out of the process. In other words, we're at a point where we may lose the Shia. What happened in Samarra is not just the blowing up of a mosque. It is a direct attack at the very, very foundations of Shiism. And it has been a massive psychological blow to the Shia on the street. And the pressure that is resting on the Shia leadership is how to deal with the sense of crisis that an average Shia feels, and to be able to continue to say that, you know, this process and giving more and more to the Sunnis in order to sort of bribe them to sit in the cabinet or join the political process and stop the insurgency, is it worth it? Is it going to work? Or is it what the Shias would want? And the fact that Sistani was not able to control the mob from attacking Sunni mosques and killing Sunni clerics should be a sign of warning to us.
President Bush, General Scales, has called the bombing an evil act, and U.S. troops, as we speak, are reportedly staying away from holy sites and letting Iraqi security forces guard them. What is the best option for the U.S. military now?
The best option for the U.S. military is to stand back, not to take sides, and not be viewed by those within Iraq or those within the Arab world as taking sides. In many ways, this horrific event in Samarra is a bellwether event for the military. We've had two and a half years now to train the security forces and to give them the skills and the leadership and the tools that they need to establish security. And it's time to allow the security forces themselves to reestablish order in the country and begin to maintain control.
Professor Nasser?
I think the point the general made about U.S. forces standing back and allowing Iraqis to manage the situation themselves should be also replicated on the political side as well. Namely, it's important for the U.S. not to appear to be favoring one side over the other in the formation of the government and allow the Shia, Sunnis, and Kurds to do the negotiations themselves without the appearance that the U.S. is taking sides or wants a particular outcome or would allow one side to manipulate it and its resources to get what it wants.
Thank you both, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
Retired Major General and military historian Robert Scales and Vali Nasser, professor of Mideast history and the politics of Islam at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California.